The angel, the Bible said, beginning in verse number 30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You may be seated. I thought about here where the Bible said in verse 34 that she said unto him, "How can this be? How is this going to be possible?" And he said, "There's only one way, that the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee and to come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee." I thought about this, and I don't think I'll stretch the scriptures because I'll go some other places before I'm done, I hope. But I thought about this. We need an overshadowing again. Amen. I think we in our day have gotten comfortable with just a passing by and just a breezing through and just a moving by. And we're missing out on the overshadowing. And thank God when the Holy Ghost sets down upon us. I thought about over on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said that cloven tongues of fire set down upon them. I think we need a setting in of the presence of God again. Amen. I remember days gone by. Seemed like I talked to somebody yesterday. I can remember those services where the glory fell in the house of God. And it seemed like it stayed for weeks. I've been in meetings where I was talking to Brother Jason Brown the other day about the meeting he is in with us, and he surrendered to preaching that meeting, and it ran for 4 weeks. And the light's not just as powerful as the first night, but oh, we don't hear much of that anymore. We need a overshadowing. I thought, man, in days gone by, or it seemed like the power of God would fill the house of the Lord. Or you could go to the house of God, and when you come up on the front steps, you could feel the presence of the Lord already in the house. Well, we need that again. We need that again. Sinners dying going to hell all around us. Our children leaving the house of God and not coming back in the teenage years. Oh, we need an overshadowing again in the house of God. Amen. Well, if there's anything we need, I don't think we need any more ball teams. They get rid of one for God. Don't need any more programs. Don't need any more news from have a conference or convention. We don't need anybody else to tell us how. We don't need any more how-to books. Hey God, we just need to go back. Hey God, to get under the fountain where it comes from. Hey God, to stay there a while. Hey God, till we get filled up and come in the house of God. I want God again.
Amen.
The Bible said it overshadowed her. Now this overshadowing, I don't think it was just he passed by. I think if I'm not mistaken, there was something happened in her and she knew about it. I think maybe that the Lord overshadowed her for a while. I think he stayed with her a little while. And it was so much
Now when she went and saw her cousin, she said, "Blessed art thou among women."
Amen.
Amen. She knew something had happened in her. Oh, we need that kind of overshadowing. I think maybe he just settled in with her and loved on her a little while. Oh, don't we need that again? I thought about this. Well, oftentimes in the night, something might happen to awaken you. And you know, I think sometimes God will let a dog bark in the neighborhood and waken us up. Hey, God, so He can love on us a little while. Hey, God, He wants to love us. He wants us to love Him. Hey, God, there's a communion and a love relationship between us and Him. I think that was going on right here. I'm not talking about anything that's dirty. Don't think that way. I'm talking about Him loving on her. Does He ever love on you? Boy, ain't it great when you're getting in places where He just loves on you. Amen. I thought about here. I believe the Lord just settled in on her for a while. I don't know about y'all, but I'm interested in that tonight. I want that, don't you? When you go to your prayer place, or you're just kind of wanting to fill out your shopping list, or are you wanting to just have a love relationship with Him for a little while? I've gone down to pray my prayer place, and I didn't even want to go home. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to go do nothing. I just want to stay right there. Because when He shows up, and when He overshadows, and when He moves in, I don't want to go nowhere else. Amen. Lord, we need that again. I thought about this over there in the book of Exodus. I just got a thought, really, is all I've got, and I'm just going to do the best I can to give it and get out of the way. But I thought over in the book of Exodus, hey, go over about chapter number 25, I think, 24, the Bible talks about how that Moses went up on the mountain. And he was up on the mountain, and there he was with God. And the Bible said the cloud filled the mountain, and he was covered over. Hey, God, and there he was in the midst of that cloud. And the Bible said he went up into the mountain, and 6 days he was there. And on the seventh, God spake unto him, and he was in that cloud for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, I'd like to get in one of them again. Amen. I know we're in the last days. I know that. I know it seems like there's a withdrawing. I know that. But I don't think God's changed. I don't think you blame it on God because we ain't having what they had in the 40s and 50s. I don't think we can blame it on God because we ain't having what we had in the 80s and even the 90s. I think it's on us. Amen. I believe we've got our heart so divided in our mind, so mixed up, that we can't even focus on God. Isaiah said in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. He's sitting on the throne. And his train filled the temple. You see in the first verses, in those chapters prior to that, Isaiah saying, "Woe is he, woe is they, woe is she." But now he's saying, "Woe is me." You know what I think will happen if we ever get into glory, right? Thank God we'll get our eyes off everybody else, and we'll start focusing on where we are with God, and we'll get our eyes facing on Him again. We need that. I think we need that again. Moses, you'll find him. You'll find him in the cloud. And it seems like while he's there, God's doing all the talking. Amen. Oh, I think my best praying is when I said very little. Amen. And I just got in His presence. And I stayed right there at His feet a while. And He did most of the talking. Amen. I like it when He does the talking. I like it when He's got something He wants to tell me. I like it when He wants to spend time with me. And He'll wake me up in the night and say, "Come on, I want to speak to you." Thank God. I want to love on you a little while. Well, ain't it good? But then we'll find Moses comes down off the mountain and they hear the sound. Joshua said, "Is it the sound of war?" He said, "No, it's not the sound of war." Amen. Amen. They're rejoicing in the camp. They made them a calf out of the gold earrings out of their ears and the necklaces, and they took all that gold off and they made them a calf and they molded that calf. And Aaron told Moses, said, "We put it in the fire and this is what come out." But really it wasn't. They made it. Amen. And they said, these be the gods that brought us out. Oh, friend, but then Moses goes back again and says, oh, God, beseech thee, show me thy glory.
Amen.
Amen. You've ever been there once, you want to go back. I don't get there every time I go pray, Brother Larry. I wish I could tell you I did. I don't get there every time. I don't get there every time I preach. I don't get there all the time. I don't get there every day. But I've been there enough. And it makes me want to go back. Amen. I've been there enough that it's got a hunger in me and a desire in me. Oh, to see your glory one more time. And when he said that, God had something to say to him. He said, there is a place by me. I'm interested in that place. By God. Oh, if we want it bad enough, we'll do whatever it takes. Hey, we know where it's at. We know how to get to it. If it really wants that again, we'll do something about it. I'm preaching to me too. Honestly tonight, every last one of us knows exactly what's keeping us from being at that hot place spiritually in our lives. Every one of us know what's hindering us from getting to that place. I can't say, Brother Tom, it's you. I can't say it's you, Brother Roger. You know what? I have to start with that bird I look at every morning when I shave my face. Amen. That's where the problem's at. It's me, it's me, oh Lord. Amen, I'm the reason. And God, when I ain't hot, it's me. It ain't God, it ain't y'all, it's me.
Amen.
Amen. Oh God, help us. I don't know what it's going to take to get us to that place. I don't know if we can take Facebook there. I don't think we can take country music there. You preaching on things? I am, because things is what's keeping us from there. Things is what's clouding our minds so much that we can't get there. Amen. We desire this, we desire that, we desire that. We long for this, we long for that in this world. Amen. Told a preacher today, we got Facebook one time. I'm being honest about it. We did. I asked about a preacher that I ain't heard from in years. I asked somebody about him, said, get your Facebook account and look him up. So I did. I ain't never been so disappointed in all my life. But I'm going to be honest with you. We kept that thing about a month until I got so mad. I said, I'm tired of being disappointed by people that I had confidence in. I don't want to see them all. Turn it off! Amen. I ain't kidding you. I said, I'd rather preach with an open mind and a clear conscience. I don't want to know what they're up to. Amen. And before I forget it, nobody really cares what you ate for breakfast. And God, get you a job or a hobby. Get you a Bible and pray. And quit bothering everybody with your busybody mess.
Amen.
I just thought I'd throw that in there while I say, I'm going to be honest with you. We're so clouded up with so many things. I've done a little study and I ain't finished. I want to preach it sometime. I ain't done. I did a little study about the effects of media on our minds. There's a gland here in our head that puts off a feel-good. Amen. What happens when we sit in front of a TV screen is that it's activated and there's a feel-good goes out. That's why these women like these Hallmark movies. They want that feel-good feeling. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's why these guys like these ball games they want to watch all the time. And they're so hooked on these ball team sports and these things. Hey, they want that feel-good. They ain't watching it, they're listening to it on the radio. They want that feel-good. And that same feel-good is the same thing that you get when you take opium. Puts off the same chemical in your body. So what's happening is they keep doing that until Hallmark's not enough.
Right.
Come on. Amen. And then it gets to the place, I don't know, I said I was going to preach it maybe one of these days. Amen. And it gets to the place for what Hallmark won't do it, so they move up the soap operas.
Come on.
And then they get on Facebook and try to connect with some of their old friends from high school. They say the internet and Facebook have broke up more marriages than TV ever thought about. And now they've got to the place. Now they got to the place to where that ain't working. We got to move to something new and better. Man went and preached something along these lines at a good Christian school that I know. He said, Brother Dale, you wouldn't believe it. He said 80% of the children in that Christian school had already by the age of 16 been introduced to pornography. They started out with a little texting and Facebooking. And every one of them confessed that it started with Facebook. Amen. Then the next thing you know, they're texting pictures to one another. And then there's slipping out of the house at night. He said, Brother Dale, I ain't talking about just my high schoolers. I'm talking about 10 and 12-year-old children had already been introduced to pornography in my Christian school. Amen. If I called the name of that school, every one of my youngers would know what school I'm talking about. We fellowshiped with them. Good pastor. Good kids. Amen. But that feel good. And when that ain't enough, they gotta have these video games of death and all these video games of wickedness that's got nakedness and cursing and all these vile things filling their minds and they continue all that stuff to where then that's not enough.
Amen.
So they move on to drugs and illicit sex. Amen. You say, preacher, there's nothing wrong with it. You tell me down the road 20 years that there's nothing wrong with it after it has robbed and stolen your youngins. Put your mind up, text. Yeah, I know who's in their contact. Yeah, but do you know what they text? Our kids got old enough to drive. We let them have a cell phone because we didn't want them out on the road, something happened, and not be able to get in touch with us. So we got him a cell phone when he was old enough to drive, old enough to work a public job. And so we got him one. When Caleb had his wreck, and I ain't getting into all that, but when Caleb had his wreck, the officer said, you was texting, wasn't you? He said, no, sir. No, sir, I wasn't texting. He said, you was talking on the phone, wasn't you? No, sir. I wasn't talking on the phone. He said, let me have your phone. He said, here it is, you can check. He said, son, you ain't got no text in here except some girl named Rachel. Said, you've erased all your other texts. Said, the only one you got in here is some girl named Rachel. Who's that? He said, that's my girlfriend. He said, why is she the only one you ain't erased? He said, well, officer, he's 18 years old. He said, well, officer, I can't erase those until my mama reads them. Amen. Say, preacher, he's 18 years old. He's a man. You shut up. That's my house. Amen. Amen. I ain't trying to be belligerent or ugly, but I'm just telling you the honest truth about it. You better know what they're texting. You better know what kind of pictures are coming through. You better know what's going on. Amen. My daughter don't have a boyfriend, Haley. She's texting somebody the other day. I said, who you texting? Hannah. Okay. Texting her sister. You say, preacher, ain't none of your business. She's 24 years old. She still lives under my roof.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I think that's right. Amen. If it ain't, it still ain't none of your business. Amen. I'm going to tell y'all something. We're living in a day where we turn them loose and we let them go. And the devil's after them. And he's thinking, who they made them are. And he don't care what your position is in the church.
Amen.
He don't care if you're the pastor. He don't care if you're a deacon. He don't care if you sing special. He don't care if you lead music or play the instrument. He just don't destroy yours than anybody else.
Amen.
God help us. Well, I've been twitched in between all week on what to preach. I've got about 5 minutes. Can I hit that just a minute? Over where it talks about the man that hath the quiver full of those arrows. I thought about them arrows. I preached this in a homeschool convention the first time. And they wanted me to do a workshop at the homeschool convention representing ACE. And so I went to, I was in Rogers, Arkansas, northwest corner of Arkansas. It's where I was at a Marriott. And I was in one of them big old rooms, and they was doing the workshops in there. And I went in there, and I told my boss, I said, I'm just going to be honest with you now. I said, this ain't looking like a regular workshop. I said, it looks like I might just go in there and preach. He said, preach. I said, all right. And so I didn't ask him no more. And when I got there, I just went in there, opened that scripture up over there in Psalm 127 about the house. And God, if a man build a house, amen, he labor in vain except the Lord build a house. And I got to reading about that. And it talks about them arrows. Amen. Hey, those youngins or something, we're aiming for a target. And God, you only got 18 years to hit the target. But thank God you better get it right. Oh, that's the man. We don't have anything.
Amen.
They didn't go to Walmart and hadn't buy no titanium or metal arrows. They went out and got these long straight sticks, straight as they can get them. And they cut them off, and then they'd whittle on them, and they'd shave them down. And then they'd hold them up to the light and twist them looking at the sun. I'm talking about the S-U-N. But you know what we're doing. We're holding ours up toward the S-O-N. And we won't see it. Because I'm going to tell you, if that thing's got any kind of a crook on it, or if it's got a burr on it, or if you don't shave it just right, and you shave too much on one side, not enough on the other, and you get it out around, that thing won't fly right. You'll have a hard time hitting the target. So young people, you listen just a minute. You know what mamas are doing? When she's rough on you sometimes. You know what daddies are doing when he takes you to the woodshed? Every now and then he's trying to hit a target. He's got a goal in mind down the road. He wants to make you a man or a woman after God.
Amen.
When the Bible said, blessed are they, have their quiver full. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full. That man has worked hard to fill that quiver full of arrows. He's worked hard. You shave on that thing. He'll hold it up to the sun, twist it up real good, and then if it's got any burrs on it or anything, he'll work on her a little bit more, smooth her out a little more. Amen. That's what I tried to do with mine, brother. I'll be honest with you, after this morning, I'm almost ashamed to preach in here. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I made a whole lot of mistakes. Every time I messed up a lot. But I tried to cut them rough edges off. I tried to, if my youngest turned out to be anything for God, it's by the grace of God, I guarantee that. And I'm thankful for what He's done. I thought about it the other night when there's a standing up there. Hand up, Brother West, your youngest and my youngest standing up there singing. I thought, thank you, Lord. Whole lot of places they can be tonight. That they're singing in the house of God. I'm thankful for that. Oh, what a blessing and a joy to my soul. I bless His name. I want to make them straight so they'll fly right.
Amen.
Amen. God, if I ain't got time to preach on all earth, but I got to studying about that thing. Man, we want to make something for the glory of God. Amen. I want His presence. What's it going to take? He said, there is a place by me. It almost looks like He's saying, there's a place right here, near to my heart. If you really want it bad enough, I tell you what you'll do. You'll do whatever it takes, Moses, to get to that place. If you got to keep the shoes off, you'll do it. If you got to lay some things down, you'll do it. Now, I ain't preached on a whole lot of stuff tonight, but you may have some things in your closet and in your refrigerator that's hindering you. Amen. I remember I went on Hogback Mountain one Wednesday morning, I think it was. Well, God done something in my heart that day. I ain't never got over it. And I come home and there's some clothes I had. Y'all wouldn't fault nothing about it, you know. And I had one that had, it was a gray T-shirt, and it had a neon like Nike stripe across it, and said something about just do it, or I don't know, so much stuff. And it had kind of a tie-dye, it was gray with some sort of tie-dye look. And I got back to the house. And I said, Brother Chris, I said, there's some things here I'm going to have to clean out. Amen. Amen. There's some pants I had brought in. They wasn't shorts, but they somehow had didn't look right. And probably if I'd have wore them in the town, and I just young preacher, I haven't been preaching long. I don't know, we might have had two of our children. I don't know how many we had. But I don't even know if we had any yet. I don't think we did. I think she might have been pregnant with half. And she laid up on the couch when I got home, and with her mama, because they put her down. And I remember, I come home, I said, there's some things going to have to go. Amen. If I'm going to walk this way, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to have this. Hey, some things that will have to get out of the way. God said, there is a place right here by me. It's almost like He said, Moses, there's a place near to my heart. If you want to pay the price to get there, you can have it if you want it. And then I'll let you see my glory. You can't look on my face and live, but I'll let you see the afterglow. Before I was. Hallelujah. And it was so much that they had to cover his face. Thank God they couldn't even look on his face. Oh God, I would have that on me tonight. Have that glow on my face. Thank God that they know that I've been somewhere. Thank God. I got back to the house that morning. Christy's mama's sitting over there and she could see the door. When I come in the door, she said, what in the world happened to you? I said, what are you talking about? She said, something's happened to you. I said, I don't, why would you say that? She said, there's a glow about you that I've never seen. Oh, there's a place. God said, there's a place. There's a place by me. There's a place near me. If thou wilt come and stand upon that rock. Hey, we need that overshadowing again. We need that overpowering and that overwhelming presence of the glory of God again in the house of God and in our homes tonight and in our lives tonight. I believe I preach what God wants me to tonight. I don't know. I don't know what you want to do. But I know what He said to Moses. He said, there is a place by me. We're satisfied with the passing by. Boy, I sure would like to see him just settle in. Stay a while. Hallelujah. Make His presence known and manifest it in our midst. As far as I know, preacher, I think I've done what God wants.